Thank you, Adam and Shane and Martin. We're all taking part in leading during these services. We have some video and sound guys there that you don't see on the camera either, and they're working to help us make sure we can continue to worship during these days. So thanks for everyone. Thank you again for tuning in and praying and being a part of these services. I want to invite you to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read the first seven verses, and then we're going to kind of reflect on the first verse for a few minutes, and then maybe look at some other scriptures this morning. I want us to think about a Christian view of quarantine. This is something that we are experiencing together, and we want to make sure that we are approaching it, thinking about it, living through it in a Christian and biblical way. And we are right in the middle of it, so this is a good time for us to study it together. Especially this week. I don't know if you were able to hear the president speak, but we, the United States, the health officials and others are anticipating a pretty gruesome week this week. They are anticipating the death numbers to spike and those kinds of things. And so they are especially calling for us all to do our part, for every American to do his or her part in this staying at home and distancing and quarantine and those kinds of things. And so we want to look at this from the scripture as well. Romans 13, beginning in verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. A Christian view of quarantine. Let's pray again together and ask for the Lord's help. Lord, we do come before you. When we pray, we are essentially coming before you to ask for your help. We do praise you and magnify you because you are God. We glorify you, Lord. We give you thanksgiving because you have abundantly blessed us. Lord, you have blessed us in our day today. You have blessed us with life. And Father, you have abundantly blessed us with eternal salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are God and you are good. And therefore, we do praise you and we do give you thanks. We confess, Father, that we fall so short of your glory. Father, often in our words, in our attitudes, in our actions, in our intentions, in our thoughts, there's so many ways that we depart from living for your glory and honoring you, Father, as we should. And we confess to you today that we are sinners and we have sinned and we need to be cleansed. We need to be forgiven once again. But Father, we also pray because we recognize that we are needy, Lord. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your power. We need your divine hand and intervention in our lives. Father, if nothing else, this coronavirus crisis has reminded us of just how much we rely on you and how much we need you, how much we are depending on you, Father, and how much we are asking for you to move to protect us, Lord, to keep us safe, to supply a cure, to supply a therapy in the meantime, to bless our doctors and nurses and hospitals and all those who are trying to get supplies, all those who are in the hot spots in our nation and across the world. We pray for them. We lift them up, Father. We ask you to work in mighty ways. God, in 100 ways, Father, for you to show yourself and show your goodness and show your sovereignty. Lord, that people might turn to you during this time and not turn away from you and not disregard you and not deny you and reject you and blame you and be angry with you, but yet, Father, turn to you to seek you that you might be found. Lord, your glory is there to see if our eyes would just be opened. And so we just ask, Father, for you to move mightily, Father, during this time. We are anticipating a difficult week. And so we ask, God, for your peace. We ask for your presence. We ask for revival. We ask, God, that faith would spring up across our land. If there's one thing, God, that reminds us of how short this life is and how long eternity is and brings up all those questions of is there life after death and what comes after death is death itself. And there's going to be a lot of talk this week about death. Would you comfort those, Lord, who are struggling with this virus today? Would you comfort the families of those who will lose loved ones and have lost loved ones? And Father, would you use these desperate times, critical times, to cause people, Father, to think of eternity, to look to you. This may be one of the greatest opportunities that the church has ever experienced. God, move in might and power on this Easter week, this holy week. We as Christians, Father, we already know that this week represents there's death in this week. And so, Father, in the middle of all of the death of this virus, which reminds us so much of sin itself that just brings death, 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 death. But there was one who came, and this week we recognize and honor, and we remember that he came and he died. He experienced our death. He took our sin upon himself to bring life. Everlasting. Oh Lord, this week, do something wonderful in the midst of things that will be horrible. Just as you did there on the cross, the most gruesome sight and yet the most glorious. Help us, Lord. Help us as we study together this morning. Help us in the week to come. We give you praise and glory for all that you will do in Christ's name. Amen. Well, a few weeks ago, when we were really starting to get into the thick of things with the coronavirus, I shared a message called A Christian View of COVID-19, and I pray that that's been helpful for you. Now we're looking at a Christian view of quarantine because that's one of the things that the coronavirus has brought to us. And even more so this week, we hear of more and more that our state and our local and our national leaders are asking for more and more distance, more and more restriction, more and more stay at home, more and more shelter in place. As the struggle, as the fight against this virus continues, just a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, I had never encountered the phrase or heard the phrase social distancing. Imagine how much the world changes, how much our language changes in just a matter of weeks. Now that is a phrase. Those are two words that are put together around the world these days. And so we're going to continue it at least through the end of this month, hoping and praying to see that these numbers will begin to plateau, they will begin to decrease, we will see therapy medicines begin to work, and of course praying for that vaccine to be developed in the middle of all the things that we're praying for the Lord to do. And so our government leaders across the board in all areas of our government are asking us to maintain distance, to not leave home unless it's absolutely necessary, to not meet in groups of more than 10. And so when the government requests something like that, indeed passes ordinances for those groups, they are essentially telling us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we cannot assemble, that we cannot in person be together to worship the Lord. You know as well as I do that next Sunday is going to be Easter. The highest day on the Christian calendar is Easter, when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be the first time that I know of, and I know for many of you, that I was not involved in a corporate worship service on Easter. Easter will come and go next Sunday across this land and many places across the world, and church buildings will be empty. What do we do with that? What do we do when our government says we can't meet? Well, that's why I thought it might be helpful for us this week if we take a look to the scriptures of a Christian view of quarantine, a Christian view of quarantine. So I want to give us five guidelines or five ways that we are to respond in this extraordinary, unusual circumstance, temporary circumstance that we find ourselves in these weeks, to hopefully help us to navigate through this, live through this, have a balanced view of this. I'm sure you've heard as well that the tighter the restrictions get on coming and going and groups and distancing and the fewer and fewer things you are allowed to do and the more and more places that are closing and trimming down hours, and I keep hearing reports of how much this is mentally wearing on people. And we're just a couple of weeks into it. We got a whole month to go, at least. So how do you have a biblical, balanced, healthy view of quarantine? First thing, I want to read verse 1 from Romans 13 again. And as Christians, how are we going to be living through this quarantine month? Well, first of all, we're going to be submitting to our governing authorities. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. The Bible is clear. God has placed governing authorities. God created, God brought about government for the good, for the welfare of people. God has placed authorities over us for our good, for our protection, for our safety. And when they are functioning according to God's design, they don't always, governments do not always function according to God's design. But when they do, they reward good and they punish wrong, and therefore they are instruments of God for the good of the people as a whole. And when we are doing good, when we are in return are doing good, we are honoring God. And as we do that, we are submitting to the authorities that God has placed over our lives. We cannot do one or the other. You cannot honor God and disrespect your authorities. That's all authorities, by the way, that God has placed over us. The authorities of government, the authorities of law, the authorities of our teachers, our parents, our employers. There are all kinds of authorities in our lives that God has placed over us. And if we are loving and honoring God, we are loving and honoring those authorities. And when our government places restrictions on us for our good, for our safety, for our health and the health of others, we are to submit to those authorities, even when it's very difficult to do. Even when it's something that we would rather not do, we are to submit to those authorities, and in that way we are honoring the Lord. So what are we doing as believers? Well, we're doing what we've been requested to do. We're keeping a distance of 6 feet. We're staying at home as much as possible. We're not gathering in groups larger than 10. All of those things are meant for our good and the good of others. So as believers, we obey those authorities over us. We don't make excuses. We don't intentionally break those restrictions. We don't put ourselves and others at risk. We don't disregard those around us. We don't just go and come and gather as we please just because we're bored or just because we want to do something. And we certainly don't twist the scriptures in order to justify our rebellion against God-given authorities. Sadly, there's some of that that's happened, and sadly, as always, it gets in the news. But we don't do that as believers. Now, with that being said, we are to subject ourselves to God-given authorities in our lives. And that's what we're going to be doing during this quarantine season for the good of others. Now, with that being said, with the government asking people of faith, asking us as believers, as evangelical Christians, not to gather, not to assemble, in almost in any other context you can imagine, we would not obey that ordinance. We would not submit to that declaration if they told us we cannot assemble. If it's for public health, public good, that's one thing. But if we were to be told not to assemble because of our beliefs, because of what we affirm of the truth of the scripture, of the truth of the gospel, if we were told we cannot assemble, we cannot teach those doctrines, we cannot preach those things, we cannot declare those truths, Well, in that case, and it's very possible that we may one day face that very scenario. In that case, we will not cancel our services and go online. We will meet and we will worship. Remember in Acts chapter 5, the Senate council, they had arrested Peter and the apostles and they had imprisoned them. And they brought them before that council, Peter and the apostles, and they charged them. They said, "You are filling Jerusalem with this teaching." They're talking about the gospel. And they said, "You must," in essence, they said, "You must cease and desist. No more teaching of that doctrine in Jerusalem." And Peter replied, "We must obey God rather than men." And so when our governing authorities are seeking our good, we obey them. But when they charge us, if they charge us to violate our faith, we obey God. And by the way, we are obeying God by submitting to our authorities in the cases of good and right. So yes, we're going to miss having an Easter gathering celebration. But that doesn't mean we're not going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. We're going to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it's over the internet next week. But we will soon gather. We will meet together again. And when we do, we are going to rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the benefits is that now we're going to be able to focus on what Easter is about. It's not about the new dress or the new suit. It's not about the one Sunday a year. It's about life beyond the grave in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we'll celebrate again. Number one, we're going to be submitting to our governing authorities. Secondly, how we're going to live through this quarantine, how we're going to make it through this quarantine, we're going to be loving our neighbor. I love the illustration that Martin gave. It gave me an idea of how to reach out to others, how to love our neighbor during this time. So beyond submitting to our governing authorities, since this is a public health issue, and especially since this virus is so deadly, in recent days, I'm sure you've been watching the news as I have, and you've seen that in recent days the numbers of deaths daily are increasing by the thousand and more. This is a deadly virus. And especially because it's deadly, and especially because there are those who are particularly vulnerable around us, we are approaching this quarantine and abiding by these guidelines that we know of out of love for neighbor, loving our neighbor. We submit to authority because we love God. He's placed those in our lives. We practice social distancing during this outbreak because we love our neighbor. Jesus said those are the two greatest commandments, by the way. And those two commandments, you can put all of the law and the prophets. They are basically the summation of all of God's law. If you love God and love your neighbor, everything else kind of falls in place. That second commandment, love your neighbor, it first appears in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, the Bible says you already love yourself. Some people look at that verse and say, "Well, I got to learn how to love myself before I can love my neighbor." No, the Bible says you already love yourself. You know how to love yourself. You know how you want to be treated. You know how you want to feel. You know how you want to be taken care of. You already love yourself. Now take that self-love and make sure you're loving others as you are wanting them to love you. I certainly don't want someone to unintentionally give me the virus. I don't want the coronavirus. So I certainly would not want to spread that to someone else. Jesus made clear in the New Testament, everyone is our neighbor. The question was raised, well, who is our neighbor? And the answer is everyone. So we keep our distance, we stay at home, we worship online during this time. Why? Because we love our neighbor. We love our neighbor. Interesting about that, where that commandment first appears. You may have already known that love your neighbor first appears in Leviticus 19. But did you know also that the first quarantine appears in the same book, Leviticus? Now, would you imagine that Leviticus would be so interesting today, in our day? And yet there it is. In Leviticus 13, we find these laws for those who are suspected of having leprosy. They were quarantined. They were set apart from the rest of the people for 7 days and then re-examined to see if it was indeed leprosy, because they had to be kept at a social distance from everyone else of the people of Israel in order to keep leprosy from spreading. Why? Because leprosy was deadly. There was no cure. There are a lot of parallels here in our day. Many things similar with this COVID-19. So social distancing and shelter in place have actually been around for a long time when it comes to the general good of the general public. God had those things written in his law long before we experienced in our day the coronavirus. The plan was already there in the scripture. So we're going to be walking through this time of quarantine, submitting to our governing authorities, loving our neighbor. And here's a couple of more things to think about. The third thing is focusing on our family. Focusing on our family. Sometimes you have to look for that silver lining, don't you? You have to see the good and the bad. And one benefit of this quarantine is that it has actually cut out a lot of the busyness out of our lives. We had grown just too busy. We were so busy, in fact, that we rarely, if ever, sat down together as a family to eat a meal together, to spend quality time together, to have a good conversation. We've been so busy going to the next event, making it to the next appointment, rushing to this outing, going to this sporting event, meeting up with this group, going out for this occasion. We were passing one another in the doorway, going in and out. And now all of a sudden, we're all home. All of us are home and there's nowhere to go. And some of us don't know what to do because we don't have anywhere to go and nothing to do. And we're trying to come up with things to do. If God is doing anything in this outbreak, and I would say he's doing hundreds and hundreds of things, he's giving us time to devote to our families. I've been reading some of the posts. I know some of you moms have been looking forward to this week because it's spring break for the public school kids, and you were thrust into homeschooling. All of a sudden, you find yourself at home homeschooling, and that wasn't of your choosing. And it has stretched you, and I know it has. We are a homeschooling family, and my wife can attest, and she would agree, and she would actually be able to speak to it more than I do. She's the homeschool teacher, not me. And it can be frustrating, and it can be challenging, and it can stretch you, and you can wonder if you're actually teaching well, if you're getting the information across, and is your child learning. But know this, moms and dads and those who are at home with their children during this time, homeschooling, your children will never forget these days. Old things will be back. Before you know it, things will be back rolling again, and they'll be back at school, but they'll never forget this season of being at home and spending this special time with you. So cherish it. Make the most of it. Enjoy it. This quarantine is affording us the opportunity to bring back some good things that we've lost, that we let drift away. Bring back family meals. Bring back family devotions. Bring back family game night, family movie night. Play games together, pray together, sit down and have those serious, heartfelt conversations. Go for a walk together with your teenager. Sit on the back porch with a milkshake or a cup of coffee and have that heart-to-heart, life, biblical conversation about what's next, what's coming. How to live for God, how to enjoy God. We've got time on our hands to do some things we've been needing to do, but we put them off because we're so busy doing things that really don't matter as much as these things that we've been putting off. This is a wonderful opportunity God has given us to focus on our families. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, after that first commandment first appears, to love the Lord with all your heart. The Bible speaks about in verse 7, Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, he's addressing parents, and God says, teach these things diligently to your children. What are these things? Well, he just said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Teach your children what that means, how you do that, how you pursue that. Talk of them when you sit in your house. We got a lot of sitting in the house now. This is a wonderful opportunity to teach our children the things of God. Talk about them, the Bible says, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. Focusing on our family. Fourth, we're going to be also renewing our faith. How do you approach this quarantine time without, can I just say it, losing your mind, going stir crazy? Renewing our faith. Busyness not only robbed us of family time, it often robbed us of time with God. So what are we going to do now with all this time on our hands? Let me encourage us, church. Let me encourage us. Do not waste all of this extra time on social media and binge watching TV shows on Netflix and Hulu. I understand escape. I understand staying connected. But let's not waste all of this time that God has given us that we can put to better, more profitable, more eternal use and renew our faith. Maybe the reason we're struggling so with not having much to do and staying home is because our faith is lacking. Now's the best time to build healthy, holy, godly disciplines in our lives. We have the time now to schedule that time to be in the Bible every day. We have the time now to treasure these treasure verses and plant God's word deep in our hearts. We have the time now to develop a prayer life, develop a prayer journal, We have the time now to soak up every online sermon. Not just Sunday mornings. By the way, maybe some churches are just posting one service a week. We're posting Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because we believe people need the Word of God in their lives. We need the Word in our lives more than once a week. Tune in. Facebook, YouTube, website, fill your heart and soul with the Word. Maybe now's a good time to establish a new priority for worship. To set aside not just for to feast your faith once a week, but maybe twice a week, maybe even three times a week. And what an easy transition then that would be to go from online to actually gathering together. That's even better. What a time we have to renew our faith, to build healthy, godly disciplines in our lives. I mentioned earlier family devotion. So let's use this time wisely. We have time. Let's use it wisely to strengthen our faith and therefore increase our joy. You know, you want to know how to be happy during these days when a lot of people are getting depressed, and I understand it. I understand getting discouraged by being restricted. That I understand it. But you know how to have joy in this time? Renew your faith. Dig into the Word. Pull out those treasures. Rejoice in God. Fifth thing, final thing. We're going to be submitting to authorities. We're going to be loving our neighbors. We're going to be focusing on our family. We're going to be renewing our faith. And fifth and finally, we're going to be counting our blessings. Counting our blessings. We're having to learn these days to give up things. And when we're forced to give up, it's one thing for us to decide to give up something. It's another when someone else decides for you to give that up. That's when it becomes difficult, doesn't it? When someone else says, you can't go to that store anymore. You can't go to that movie theater anymore. You can't go to this restaurant anymore. You can only go in this certain time. There can only be this certain amount of people. It becomes difficult for us to have these restrictions, and they're growing tighter, and they possibly can grow even tighter. If numbers launch and spike this week as they are anticipating, then I anticipate things to grow even tighter. And it's easy in those days. Listen, it's easy in those situations, church, and I'm confessing along with you. I'm with you in this. It's easy. For us, we are prone to complain and to whine and to grumble. I want to challenge us, Grassy Pond, let's be different than that. We've got far more to praise the Lord for than we've got to complain about. Let's be better than that. Let's not take to social media and gripe about what we don't have. Let's take to social media and praise and thank the Lord for what we do have this day. I think the last I know of, maybe some 8,000 people or so in the United States have passed away from this virus. Oh, let me tell you something. If you're watching this, we've got a lot to be thankful for. In the middle of giving up things, let's give thanks. Let's give one more thing that people are not anticipating. See, people anticipate to hear people complain. People are, that's expected. Let's do what's unexpected and let's give the Lord praise and glory and thanksgiving. God has given us life and health and salvation, eternal salvation. God has given us loved ones. God has given us a church family. God has given us the technology to keep studying His Word together when we can't be together. God has given us His Word. You have His Word in your home. You have His Word. God has given us His Spirit that lives within us. God has given us a hope that cannot be taken away, a peace that passes all understanding, a joy that is increasing. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let that be our banner. How are we going to approach quarantine? This is exactly how, as believers, submitting to our authorities, loving our neighbors, focusing on our family, renewing our faith, and counting our blessings. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you once again for being able to look to your word and be encouraged with truth, be directed with truth, given guidance with truth. And now, Lord, by your spirit and by faith, help us to live out this truth in the days that lie ahead. Father, our most difficult days with this virus may be ahead of us, may be, in fact, this very week, the week that we celebrate the most. So help us, Father, in these days to continue to give you thanks for what this week truly represents and what it truly means, because it's something that the coronavirus and the social distancing can never take away. And we give you glory for it. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Gaffney, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch P67 Missions. Again, thank you for listening to Will Owens.